Well, Father, we thank you for the truth of who you are and for your word today. Lord, we want to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. And Lord, with the truths that you give us today, Father, we want to honor you. We want to obey you. We want to walk with you. Hallelujah. Hand in hand. And you said, well, what are you talking about today? Well, what I'm talking about today is about, I'm going to continue. We're going to keep talking about faith for a little while. And we've talked about this faith. And you said, well, what does faith have to do with anything? Well, the Bible says that we are to live by faith. We've talked about that, didn't we? We're to walk by faith. We please God with our faith. We protect ourselves with our faith. And whatever we do unto the glory of God by faith. What is it faith in? Faith in what God has said. Faith in what God has done. Faith in what Jesus has provided at the cross. And that's a lot more than we have realized. Last week we were talking a little bit about the born again nature. And how valuable you are as a son, a daughter of God. And the value that God has placed upon us. And the way we really use our faith is important as well. We have to understand that faith is when we are persuaded that what God has said, He will do. And that comes by us hearing the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Hearing what He has said. You know, there are different areas that all of us have developed in faith. How many know? Most people are pretty developed that they're born again. They're sure of their salvation. Well, why? Because we've heard the Word of God over and over. If I believe in my heart, if I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. We've heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, right? His one and only Son, His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We know that if we've done these things, we believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We confessed Him as Lord. And so our faith is very strong there. That He saved us. But did you know there was a day when it wasn't that strong in the world? You know, there was a time of darkness in the dark ages. They didn't understand saved by faith. You know, saved by grace through faith, really. Not of ourselves. It's what? The gift of God. They didn't understand the gift of the grace of God. Why? There was a lack of knowledge in the land. And there had to be a reformation. And that's where Martin Luther came in. He sought God. How many know when you seek God, you begin to prosper, right? Hallelujah. He began to understand. He began to see the truth of being saved by grace through faith. And that alone, by Christ alone, through faith alone in Him, that a person can be born again. And we saw the value of that this last time. But faith is when we believe what God believes. Not just about, you know, not just about that, but about you. You know, God has a lot of faith in you. He believes in you. He put His whole kingdom on the inside of you. On the inside of each one of us. Into the body of Christ. He says, I have placed my kingdom within you. He's counting on us. He's counting on us. Amen. He believed that if you'll be born again, become His son, that you'll make some other sons in the earth. In other words, He hasn't stopped saying, be fruitful and multiply. He said it in the Old Testament. Yes, they became fruitful and we do multiply. But we also multiply spiritual sons and daughters, because what He's given us, we can give to others. Why? Because God lit what? Your candle. He lit you. Amen? He brought the gospel to you. He came and found you. He didn't really find you, but I mean, we found him. But he came for us. It's a combination. God came for man. He came to redeem us and to set us free and cause us to be born again. And we have great faith in that area of our lives. And how many know there's other areas that sometimes people know they're born again, but they're struggling in other areas of their life in faith. Maybe it's in healing. Well, why would somebody struggle in healing? Yeah, some people think, well, why would they struggle in that? Well, because sometimes we've got misinformation. Somebody told them an untruth. Well, that happened in the Old Testament. I know in some of the churches I went to, I never accepted it. There was a reason I didn't accept it. Not because I heard all the truth about healing, but I did see some things. I used to watch Ernest Angley on TV. And I realized, I said, well, what about when I got to my Sunday school class? They said, well, we know that healing's passed away. One of the teachers said that, and in my mind, now I didn't say it out loud, I was afraid to. I'm just a boy. But in my mind, I said, yeah, but what about Ernest Angel? He gets people healed. People get healed through his ministry. And it saved me a lot of heartache over the years. Hallelujah. I didn't have to unlearn that. But we know that when we get the truth of the Word of God, what God has said, I think sometimes that the reason people have done these things is they can't quite believe that God's that good. But we can, amen, because he said it. They couldn't take it quite as his word. Said, well, you know, I know that happened in the New Testament, but nowadays it's going to keep happening because we're what? Reaching one. We're meditating the Word of God, that we can do the same things that Jesus did. So faith comes by hearing, and where we hear him in, faith continues to grow. When we hear that surely he's borne our sicknesses, carried our pains, and by his stripes we were healed, faith begins to grow. Now, faith can be a process. It doesn't always come just like that, but it comes through two things, knowing what he said and knowing who he is. And we've talked about that. We talked about his faithfulness, his love, how faithful he is, how much he loves us. And when we can get a hold of the truth of the Word of God and begin to take that truth and get it into our heart, then we can begin to speak out of our mouth from a place where we believe. And we can allow our beliefs to take us where God wants us to go. We may not be there today, but we can keep heading in that direction. So, well, let's look at James chapter 2. I'm going to read quite a few verses right here. Let's just start in 14 and read down. It said, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Anyway, I won't comment yet. I'm going to try to read this, but I will right there. But see, sometimes people say, well, I believe that Jesus, you know, I mean, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Well, that's good. The Bible says here, even, think about that, even the demons, even the devil believes that God's there. But is the devil saved? No, he's not. Because there was two things involved. He will not confess Jesus as Lord, and he cannot. There wasn't salvation for him, but he believes. Even the demons believe that God is, and they tremble at God. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect or mature or complete. Hallelujah. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there's something that we see here that James is talking about. Now, I think James probably had a little insight that maybe we didn't have. James is the brother of Jesus. Well, we would say half-brother. I mean, God was his Jesus' father, so, you know, and so Joseph was really the man that was his father on the earth that raised him, that raised Jesus. But God was actually the one that birthed him. And that's important because his spirit was alive to God. But I think James, living with Jesus, may have seen some different things than you and I. He saw the acts of Jesus, not just his work, not just his faith. He had faith, but the faith showed something. How many believe that when we believe, we should show some works? Amen. The Bible says that we are created not from works, but to do good works. And when we're talking about faith, one of the things that happens is that we realize that there has to be some action. Verse 16 says this, what's the use? He's saying here, he says, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? He says, what's the use of having faith if you're not going to use it? And sometimes I don't know if we realize we can believe, or we can have faith, we can believe in something, but if we don't use it, it's not going to benefit us. That's what he's saying here. He says, how could it benefit if somebody needs food or clothing and we don't help them? We just say, oh, well, get, you know, be warm. We'll pray for you. Be warmed and filled. That's really what we say. We don't say be warmed and filled. We just say, well, we'll pray for you. God bless you. But we don't go to the, sometimes people don't go to the coat closet and grab a jacket or a coat or something they have and hand it out. I know you guys do. Hallelujah. You put works to that. But the point being here, he's giving an example. Faith has something that goes with it. Faith has to be released in action and in something else also, which is words. Verse 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Amen. How many know that if your body is dead, you're not going to be able to do anything on this earth? Your spirit's gone, you have your body there, but the faith is not producing. And in verse 20, he says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Amen. And he says here in verse 26, he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That means it's ineffectual. It has nothing. It can't do anything. It's not benefiting anyone. How many know if I died, I would be laying here. My spirit's not there. You can go ahead and kick me. You can call me names. You can pick me up. You can do whatever you want with me. But do I care? No. My spirit's not there. It doesn't benefit me because that's what makes me a living being, is the inward man, right? If that inward man, that's all death really is. We step out of our earth suit and we go on to glory into the next realm. So he's saying that faith is dead if we don't use it. Now he goes on to say, and I want to ask the question, what works release our faith? What kind of works really release our faith? And James 3 begins to talk about words. In James 3 verse 2, he says this, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man," or a mature man, "a complete man, able also to bridle the whole body." Now here you also mentioned teachers, and so a lot of times the teachers in the body of Christ do kind of, you know, guides the body, doesn't it? Why? Because why? You're hearing the truth. That's why he said we shouldn't presume. Verse 1, let's back up one verse. There says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." In other words, there is a accountability before God for what we share and what we know. Hallelujah. We could stumble, but here he says the work of words, and also to help us what? Bridle our tongue. Words have power. And I would say this, the number one way that we act on our faith is with words. Sometimes we want to do foolish things. I don't know about you, but sometimes people want to do crazy things. They want to stop taking their medication, or they think an act in the natural does not make God, it doesn't require him to do an act in the spirit. But an act from us, the spirit, will release our faith to receive what Jesus has already done. In other words, if you're wearing glasses, like if I took glasses, you're wearing glasses and you broke those glasses, it does not obligate God to heal your eyes because of your crazy move in the natural. The natural does not move God. Faith moves God. And when we act our faith, we begin to say what God says. And that is the first work that we can do to walk with God, is to work with words. God works with words. Words were sufficient action to get us saved, weren't they? When we believed in our heart and we said with our mouth, "Jesus is Lord," words are classified as action. Sometimes we don't think it that way. Are there other actions? Sure, there's other actions in faith. We can begin to do what we can. We begin to act our faith. We can move our body. We can do some of those things. But the first thing, what God really looks at, is words. Genesis chapter 1, how many know? How many times did God say in Genesis 1, "And it was"? About 14 times, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. But God said, "And it was." And God said, he created what? The heavens and the earth, the Bible says. He created the light. He said it. He brought light. He said, "Light be," and light was. And God began to bring forth the animals and the plants, and comes down to man, and he created or formed man out of the dust and breathed to him that breath of life. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, God ended his work. What work did he end? He ended his work of words. His words had created things into the earth. And if you'll walk with God, your words can begin to create things and form things in our life. Do you understand words can have power over children? You know, you don't take a 5-year-old and then begin to berate them. Take a child or a 2-year-old and he's walking and he fell down, right? What do you say? No, you just go over, we brush him off. Oh, it'll be all right, honey. You'll be okay. We need to understand when people come into the faith, all of us, there's going to be some mistakes that people make sometimes, and we need to realize, hey, let's get up, let's keep going. We can continue to move forward with God in faith. But it is our words. We don't take the action and start yelling at the baby. What's wrong with you? Why did you fall down? What do you think? You can't walk? Why can't you stay on your feet? Or sometimes you hear people speak to their children. You'll never amount to anything. Maybe you heard those words. You're not going to make it. But how many know when we begin to see what God said? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Me and God, we can walk together. How many know he's bigger than you? He's bigger than me? Can you find a problem that's bigger than God? I want to challenge somebody today. If you can find a problem bigger than God, I don't think so. Amen? There is not one. And there's nothing that he cannot do. Just like our sister said earlier, we didn't surprise God with what took place in your life or what happened. Maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted or we wanted in some area of our life, but that doesn't stop us. Amen. We can change things with our words. And so our words are sufficient action. When we came to Christ and God said, and then he rested from those words. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Luke 17. Now, verse 5 and 6 says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this mulberry tree, excuse me, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once, sit down to eat. Hallelujah. 5 and 6. Okay, let's just look here at 6. Okay, he says to the Lord, increase our faith. And he says, if you'll have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the tree, that mulberry tree, be removed, be cast into the sea. It's going to happen. It will take place. Words have power. Remember when Jesus was walking by the fig tree. How many remember that? Hallelujah. Mark 11. Let's go over there for a minute. Mark chapter 11. But here he said, you know, and many people get goofed up in what they believe today. And once they believe correctly, when we believe correctly, when we believe the Word of God, when we hold fast to what He has said, we can continue to say. We have to start saying. We have to start saying what God said and believe what He said. Why? Because that is what we're doing. We're releasing faith into the earth. The angels of the Lord, it says in the Bible, hearken to the voice of God's Word. And when we give voice to His Word, He brings things to pass. We're looking here where Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And as they're going along, hallelujah. How many remember when he cursed the fig tree? They're going to Jerusalem and Jesus had cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit on it. And verse 12, yeah. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went up to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went to the temple. He begins to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves and so forth. They're seeking to try to stop this. So we keep moving. And Jesus says, "Is not my house, it shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people that were astonished in his teaching. When Jesus had come, he went out of the city. So here they go. They're going back, okay? In verse 20, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. How many know sometimes we don't see the answer the moment you said it? You say something that God said, and how many have ever had that? Well, Lord, I spoke to that thing and nothing seemed to change. And it was the same thing. The disciples didn't see an immediate, just like that. They didn't see a change overnight. But here they're walking back a little while later, and the fig tree had dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered, he said to them, "Have faith in God." Or have the God kind of faith. See, when we see this connected here with the fig tree, we begin to see what Jesus is saying. See, faith is both right now and future. It's both. We believe, we receive it, and you'll have it. Has anybody in here ever gone and ordered something on Amazon? You know? Maybe you said to your friend, "Hey, you know what? I got me a new iPod," or "You got you something new that you ordered off Amazon. I got me a new set of earbuds so I can hear my phone good." Whatever it may be. And they said, "Well, where's..." "Oh, it's coming. I just ordered." You just ordered it off Amazon, but you believe it's coming, don't you? Why do you believe it's coming? Because you have their word on it. They said they'll send it to me. I got an email and it said it's on the way. You know, and in a few days, you went to the mailbox, and how many ever said it wasn't there yet? You're like, "Well, it's not here yet." And you start thinking, "Well, I wonder if they sent it. I wonder if they sent it off." But how many know God's faithful to perform His word? He has sent the answer. He had sent the answer that Jesus had done to that fig tree, and it didn't dry up the first day. But you go back, what, on the third day, look in your mailbox, and there's it. There it is. Your earbuds came. You have them. You had them, but now you have them in your possession. You believed it was being sent. You believed it's coming. When we believe that what we say shall come to pass, he says here, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." So, well, I've heard that. I heard Jim say that. I've heard other people say that. I've heard other preachers say that. And I want to get this working in my life because I need some changes. How many ever need change in your life? See, there is a place where we do take the Word of God. We confess the Word of God. We say it out loud for ourselves. We are forming a belief. Beliefs come when we hear teaching, when we hear the truth, when we see it in the Word of God, when we take God's Word as truth. We know that faith has come. When we see it in God's Word and we accept it as truth, faith begins to come. How many believe that? Faith can come pretty quickly. It doesn't have to take long. How many ever talk to somebody? How many believe? Amen. Sometimes we have what, rallies or so, you know, an evangelistic service. What are we believing? We're believing people are going to hear the good news, right? And they're going to respond right now, today. They're going to respond what? Based on the message of the gospel. Because the Bible says that the power, the gospel is what? The power of God into salvation. How many of you believe when you're out there trying to, you're planting that seed or you're bringing that one person in, you're talking to that person, that God's going to do a work in their heart? How many are believing that? What are we believing? That what they heard will produce faith in their heart, and they're going to believe God's word. And it's the same way with us. And when we believe in our heart, when we get that word planted in our heart, deep on the inside of us, down into our spirit man, the heart of ourselves, when we see it and we are fully persuaded and we begin to speak God's word, we release faith and it begins to come to pass. We see it in Jesus' life, don't we? What did he say to the woman that was bowed over? Remember, she'd been bowed over for what, 12 years? He says, be loosed of your infirmity. It was a command of faith. It was a command that he had that. It wasn't just that Jesus, some people have said, you know, well, here Jesus was walking, but he was walking in faith. And how many believe you can walk like he walked? You can allow the faith of God to rise up in you. And that you can have what you say. I begin to say, maybe your life, it may be your body, you begin to speak to at first. But how many know you can have that? Now, so I just want to encourage us today. I don't want to take a long time. So I know that you said, well, we know some of these things. But I want to say this. Roy Hicks said this. He said, God is restricted by our failure to confess or to say what we believe. To begin to use what we believe. How many are talking more about Jesus? Amen. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night, right? Hallelujah. That we're reading Mark 16. Why? To build our faith in Jesus. The resurrection power of God that came alive. If you look at that chapter, it starts out talking about the resurrection. And Jesus wasn't happy with them. The women went over there and they said he's alive. He's been resurrected. And they didn't believe him. How many know sometimes it takes a good woman to get something done? You know, God was trying to get the message out first through a woman. Isn't that amazing? The first message that came when Jesus was resurrected was through a woman. You're valuable. God needs women. God needs men too. Men are valuable. But when we begin to speak about the truth of the resurrection of God, so, hey, there's resurrection power available. You can be born again. You can know God. You can be healed. I can lay hands on you. And God's power is going to touch you and start a miracle power working in you. How many can believe God will use you? How many know these signs follow them that what? Believe. And that's what we're doing. We're reading it over and over. Why? Why are we reading Mark 16 over and over? To get it in our what? In our heart. So that we become doers, not just hearers, right? We hear it, but we want it in our heart, and we begin to say it, and we begin to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Meditation is the key between hearing and doing. We heard the Word of God, but we got to think about what He wants us to do. If you never think about something, you'll never do it. Do you know that? You understand? Doesn't that make sense? And what we really meditate on is what we really end up doing. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's what we're doing. Kind of like this. Faith, what a faucet is to your water pipe, your mouth is to your faith. It releases it, doesn't it? When you turn that water on, what happens? Water starts coming out if everything is right, right? When it doesn't come out, then you shut it off and see if you can find the problem. But how many know that's true? When we begin to speak with our mouth, we're releasing God's ability to begin to work through us, to work for us on our behalf. Our mouth is like the trigger on a rifle that releases the bullet. It releases God's ability to go forward. The Bible says that the angels of the Lord hearken to the voice of His word. In other words, when we speak God's word, He has things in place and things begin to go to work. Just like when He spoke to that fig tree, it didn't immediately, it began to dry up from the root. And your problem, whatever it is, your situation can begin to change the moment we begin to speak God's word. And we begin to thank Him for that answer. It doesn't come by thinking, but it comes by saying. We have to say, not what we think, but we say what we believe in our heart. Amen. And when we get our heart hooked up with our mouth, things begin to change. It takes saying. We continue to say what God has said, and it begins to come to pass. We don't allow the enemy to talk us out of it. Brother Hagin said in his book called Words on page 28, he says, you get saved because you believe something and say something. Mark 11:23, the word say is used three times, and faith must be released through words in our mouth. Not one time, but three times here he said, Mark 11, whatever we say with our mouth. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, one, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. Now sometimes we think about things, but we don't say them. Anybody ever had that? Maybe you thought about somebody in prayer, but did you pray? Did you begin to say? No. We got to think about what God says. Agree with God. Agree with His word. Let that faith come forth with our words. Faith without action will not benefit us, but faith in its purest form is when we are convicted, we have that conviction in our heart, and we are fully persuaded in what we believe, or in what you believe. When we're fully persuaded, we have that full persuasion, like Abraham did. And from our heart, we begin to speak. Amen. How many want to help and ask God to help you with your words? To speak words of faith. Not words of doubt and unbelief. That's easy to do. That means we're just speaking what we see around us. But when we take God's word, we change what we see. We change what is seen to bring in the unseen, to bring God's power into that situation. We begin to say, just like we're saying here, we have faith to lay hands on the sick. We have faith to reach somebody for Jesus. We have faith that God can fill this place. Amen. I know that He's working. I believe. We take His word. We say, hey, God, this is not Pastor Doug's church. This is not my church. It's not your church either. It's God's church. Amen. How many know that? It's our church. It's a family. We work but together. We each have a part, and it's so important that we work in that part. And when we say, well, maybe there's areas that I need to do better. I want to hear God better. Well, we can get the word of God. Amen. John 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me, the voice of a stranger. They don't follow. That's an area we can continue to say. Believe that God, what? Directs my steps. He said, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I'm in the right place at the right time. Amen. And these are things we can begin to think about, begin to say, and believe God. And let our faith come into action. How many are ready? Amen. You want to move forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word has given us things we can do. We can use words, Father, to change a situation in our life. And Lord, we've reminded ourselves this morning, we reminded the people, Lord God, your people, that words are full of power. They can change things. They can cause things to die at the root, Father, and to ultimately be gone from our life. And Father, we know that when we speak your words, that things begin to change in our life. And we give you glory. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. And we take your word, Father. We're going to find those words. Continue to believe you. Continue to worship you. Continue to thank you, Father, that your word is truth and it's coming to pass in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and I believe he raised from the dead, but you've never really confessed him as your Lord. You never said, Jesus be Lord of my life. You haven't really invited him in. Or maybe you did, but you have gone your own way. You've went astray. You said, you went back on the things that you saw and you decided to do it your own way and you need to come back to God today. And then the third thing I want to say today is if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't pray in other tongues. How many know that's another way we can release faith that God is praying for us, that he's bringing to pass his will in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. On any of those things, if you need to be come to God for the first time, or if you need to come back to him, or if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't pray in other tongues, and you want that power today, I invite you this morning, if you're listening online, you can let us know there in the chat. We'll be glad to pray for you and pray with you. Hallelujah. So all of these things are important, and if that's anybody here, anybody at all, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or you want to be filled with the Spirit. Anybody here at all? Okay, nobody. Everybody's filled. Everybody's saved. I understand that. But there could be people that are listening or that will hear this message that are not. And if that's you, you can call out to God today. The Bible says if we'll believe in our heart and say with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess with our mouth. Just say, yeah, that's right. You just say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried and you were raised from death to life. And I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Come on in, Jesus. Come into my life. Take control. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live for you in Jesus' name. It's that simple. It's not that prayer that's what's important. It's your heart attitude toward God. Say, I'm surrendering my life. I'm giving my life over to you. Hallelujah. And if you're there and you say, well, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance of the words to say. And you can ask God right now, wherever you are, if you're just listening, or somebody's hearing this in the future, you can say, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with that Holy Spirit, and I want to speak in that heavenly language. Amen. Just lift your voice and open your mouth and let those words come forth. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.